All right, good to go. All right, so let's kind of go around and unmute everyone now. Actually, here's what I'll do. I'll mute everyone again. Let's use the chat box for who would like to speak first, bringing up any concerns. Oh, Larry. Okay. Larry, you can unmute yourself if you want to explain your question there.
So the concern I have, I've listed a few there in the chat, but when September rolls around, if we have a similar situation to what we have now, what music education is going to look like? Because we're not allowed to sit in close proximity and sing, because that's faster air moving through your mouth. And to use our new Canadian term, we're singing moistly, sending the water drops further. Same rule to the blowing of instruments, so that's out. So I'm thinking, okay, they can come into the music room, but we can't use the equipment one class after another because that's a common touch surface. And really, the music room space itself is a common touch surface, unless you have six custodians standing outside the door ready to dive in and sanitize the space between classes. So, I don't have the answer, but music is going to look really different from what we were doing before spring break if we are to implement some kind of a music program in September.
Absolutely. This was brought up with my LSA as well. And there was a good point brought up from one of my members that what's the difference between, she's speaking from an elementary perspective, what's the difference between students using the playground and students using the orff instruments? No difference. Difference is kids are washing their hands after they go to the playground. Why can't they wash their hands after they go, before and after? So that's one of the things that we're going to bring up as well. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Any other concerns for people? Janet, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Okay, perfect. Okay. First of all, I just wanted to say that Larry, I'm not sure which district you're in, but I wanted to let you know that the document that Kristen and I are working on together does specifically address some of those things. There is a safety plan that we have been working on that will be included in that document. So that may be of help and of interest to you. As well, just speaking for my own district, I'm in the Abbotsford district, and what our biggest concern is actually there hasn't been a lot of concerns surrounding actually being able to create music. The concern has been more around scheduling because they're trying to manipulate schedules. So in part to manage the cleaning aspect of it. But the entire school district has decided that for secondary schools, we are all going to a quarter system. So for music programs, of course, that's extremely problematic because we need linear classes. And so our concerns in Abbotsford really for the secondary schools are around scheduling and the viability of music programs and how we can be successful in the quarter model. We don't have elementary music in our district, unfortunately. We did have a few positions. Unfortunately, just after spring break and once everything was starting to come back to school, the decision was made to cut those few positions that existed, which was very sad in our district. But so that's an unfortunate thing that's happened. For middle schools in our district, though, again, there's a lot of concerns around scheduling because a lot of the middle school programs as well as secondary happen outside the timetable. So it becomes an issue around space and having a big enough space to social distance And so we've been looking at alternatives and the possibility of using gym spaces and things like that.
Thanks, Janet. Chris.
Thank you. My concern is around our district is very not interested in hearing teacher concerns or involving teachers in the decision-making process. So I'm wondering if part of this as well is looking to see if we can get some ministry endorsement of these recommendations that we put forward so that we can bring that to our district admin as with a little bit more weight, because we're not having a lot of luck bringing stuff up from sort of the teacher level up to the district level. We've asked to be, part of solving the problems, and instead they're more interested in just letting us know what to do at the end. So any chance of that?
Speak to that.
Kristen, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The CMABC is in touch with the ministry. We've had pretty good traction with getting some meetings with them and just sharing ideas on what we're working on, not specific to this COVID response, but prior to. And we intend, once we're finished with this framework document, to send it to the ministry. We're also attempting to seek advice from one of the public health doctors who is head of Vancouver Coastal Health. And so we're hoping there, if there's a bit of like Ministry of Health overlap there too, that it would be likely that the Ministry of Education picks up on this and supports it. And so the plan is definitely that we'll share it with them. In addition, and I can share this maybe through Manjar too, or maybe you saw it come through the BCMEA newsletter yesterday. We just today released a letter message from the coalition to all school board trustees and administrators, basically saying just this: please consult with your teachers. We have to think outside the box. We have to think creatively. Music is not canceled. There is no reason that music cannot be taught. It will just look different than it has looked in, well, ever before. And so it's basically a statement of encouragement, just saying, please don't allow there to be irreversible damage to your music programs when we can instead work together and think creatively on how to find a new normal. So check that out. If you didn't get a copy of that, it's on the coalition's social media. And you can also just put a note in the chat here and I'll make sure that you receive it if you didn't get it.
With the reason why I said you'll receive a draft of the document is because on the BCTF side, they're going to approve it, but they actually need to approve it officially so that it can come out as BCTF. However, because we're partnering with the coalition, it can go out on the coalition side of things, and that may help with that. I know from a couple of contacts that there is someone from the Provincial Health Officer's team working with the ministry of education with everything, because they've since realized that a lot of the parameters that they've come out for the general public, for instance, culinary arts, everything comes out for a commercial kitchen, but how do they handle a school kitchen? So they are now trying to find all those different parts that have been missed. And even Dr. Henry's briefing today, she even said, some of our updates contradicted some of the stuff that we told you before. So we're actually trying to fix it. So they're all going, 90 kilometers an hour and try to catch things as well. So next on the list, Kathy. We can come back to Kathy. Brent?
Okay, thanks, Mandar. I'm just going to kind of refer back to what I wrote on the document so I don't forget anything. I wrote down like kind of what things have looked like recently in our district, and talking with the elementary music teachers, some of them, their music classes and stuff were just kind of canceled for the rest of the year. But they've been given word from their admin that things should be, they're not planning to get rid of music or electives or exploratories. but just to kind of have enough people to supervise the students who were coming into the schools, they had to repurpose or move things around. So the music teachers and exploratory teachers were moved into different roles to cover all those things. So the concerns that we have for the upcoming school year, but we and all the high schools and elementary schools have been told that they're scheduling things as per normal so far, which is good. And there's no talk of canceling anything yet, but we're waiting for August 20th. Our superintendent said they should know more by then. So they're not going to say anything even close to definite until August 20th. We're worried about adequate space for physical distancing for music classes and even just the availability of hand sanitizer for each classroom, because our school district has not said they will do that, or even have like hand sanitizing stations near every classroom. Choir and musical theater, we're not sure. We're worried it might not happen because of all the current data that's been mentioned already about germs spreading through choral breathing and singing and all that stuff, and also with band. Outside the timetable rehearsals, we have so many of our high school things run outside the regular day. And if we have like 40% of students in attendance on certain days, will they be able to still attend on a before or after school rehearsal, even if it's not one of their regular days to go during the school day? What else? Oh, and we just talked this morning kind of casually about we might be looking at more sectional type stuff, small ensemble and private lesson type things over Google Meet and Zoom and stuff like that in September, and not so much the regular large ensemble stuff. And we also talked about using multipurpose rooms or gym spaces or theater spaces for rehearsals, as they're just larger spaces that would give us the ability to spread out some more. And I think that's all the information that I collected from my the teachers in my district.
Thanks, Brent. Kathy's going to call in, so let's jump to Jennifer Riley.
Hi, sorry, just trying to unmute myself here. So I guess for our district, one of the main concerns with all of our elementary school teachers is to ensure that there's some sort of continuity between the different schools. We have a real discrepancy right now happening between different elementary schools, and it goes back to what the gentleman was speaking to. So some of them are going ahead, status quo. They've managed to figure out how they can have instruments for certain classes, and those kids use those instruments every day, and a different class uses bucket drums and another class uses ukuleles and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's been some people who've been super proactive in making it work for them. But there are some schools where before they even had the opportunity to make that change, they were repurposed, as you had said, which was a good word, into a different position. And so there's some concern moving forward into the fall that A, we won't have continuity within our district as to whether or not music is offered in elementary schools, and also what it looks like, because as we all know, not all schools are created equal. Not everyone has the same access to different instruments and things like that based on PAC and funding. And so it's a bit of an issue. So we're trying to work towards making it a more equal playing ground, but it's a challenge right now. And there's definitely concern with the music teachers that they're not going to be necessarily teaching music in the fall. Our secondary teachers have been pretty proactive. We've been meeting weekly and talking about options for the fall, trying very much to have a similar approach, so that when we do approach our administration, we can say, it's something we've talked about, it's something we've, you know, as a group of educators agreed upon. And so that seems to be helping us. We're making headway, and our school plans to go through with a linear program, not the Copernican, which we're grateful for right now, because it will definitely allow our extracurricular classes to run. In fact, they're talking about, even if we do end up switching into Copernican, if things go sideways at any point, they've built in this 45-50 minute time in the morning prior to classes starting, that will be specifically for XBLOC classes, because we do run a lot of our programs outside the timetable as well. And that 45, 50 minutes every morning will be sectioned off for jazz band, choir, improv teams, stuff like that. So we're pretty lucky because there is definitely, from our administration anyway, we do have support. That's all I got.
Wow, thank you so much for that. That's fantastic to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump to Kathy because she's able to call in. Kathy, are you on now? Kathy?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
There we go. Okay, I'll turn off my computer. Hi, sorry about that. I don't know why I can't do this. So it's Kathy Fester and Angela and Dean. We're from SD 43, the Coquitlam School District in the Lower Mainland. Some of the things that have come up for us is even as immediate as today. We just got a letter from our superintendent today that went out to all the families in the entire district. And I'll just read the one little paragraph. The Minister of Education has stated that a return to full in-class instruction is a strong likelihood in September, but that we also have to be prepared for any possibility based on the advice of the provincial health officer. We hope to know more shortly, but no matter what direction we receive, we know that the district and families will need to be flexible with our plans upon a return in September and for the school year. When I read that, it's promising to the point where they're being as supportive as they can. Our concerns as teachers in the district, and I'm talking elementary, middle, and secondary, is that we have equity from school to school. And that's in the place of time allotted to the classes. If we are truly, which is what we've been going on the premise of a hybrid system, we will be doing some virtual and some in-class instruction. And we're all pretty creative people that we can come up with some solutions, but we want to make sure that there's equity across the district. I don't think it's possible across the province, but certainly across the district. We're already losing programs in the elementary level due to the COVID. The administrators have unilaterally already decided to cut 4 programs in our district and switching it to technology. So they've cut the music completely because of COVID. And our concern is, how do we bring that back when that happens? And we'll fight with that on our own LSA level, but I guess our concern is what kind of union support, and this is something I'd love to have something in, not necessarily in writing, but something that is stated from BCTF that they are supportive of us as a subject matter where our members, music teachers, can be pretty creative in how we deliver this. The semantics are going to be different from school to school. They're not about to build us bigger rooms to accommodate the numbers, but we have to be creative with the situation that's given with to us. And what kind of support do we have for that? And when we're speaking of equity of time is, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure we're all in the same boat. I haven't worked this hard since I was a first year teacher. And it's because of the variety of teaching that we've had to do. What kind of union support do we have to accommodate that teacher burnout that we will likely all be dealing with in September? Again, semantics we can deal with on a local level, but can we get some sort of guidance in your 2-page document that also goes to administrators, to the school board, to help with us continue on with our program? We have some very, very scared teachers in our midst, as I'm sure you do too in your district. Angie and I have had to talk to many of our colleagues. Some administrators are saying, nope, no choir, we're cutting it out of the program already. No choir, it's not gonna happen, period. So as administrators are putting their timetables together, they're making those unilateral decisions now. So I'm wondering what kind of support and ammunition in writing or something that we can go this week. It's rather urgent for some of our members to lay that out.
Can I add?
Yeah,
can
absolutely.
Can I just add to that? Hi, this is Angie. I haven't taught music since March the 13th, before our spring break, before COVID started. I was made the vulnerable learners team lead for our school, which meant I was 100% student services. And that's all I'm doing now. Basically, in the last 3 weeks since we've been in school, I hold doors for an hour and 20 minutes a day. I've heard from another teacher who is the only teacher that went in school on Wednesday with one child of an essential service worker. So we're really wondering what's going to happen in terms of meaningful work should it come down to the children are allowed 1 hour of education a day and 2 hours of PE, or 5 hours a week, 2 hours a day, or a week of PE and five of learning. How can we also do music there if we're not supposed to be giving them extra if we do go back to this online learning?
So thank you for the opportunity, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Actually, while you were talking, I'm emailing Graham Rainey, our PSA coordinator. Any district that has come to me and said, this is happening, admin saying this, I've been passing everything up. So Graham is passing it up to Terry Mooring, and she's actually talking to the Deputy Minister of Ed and going down that way. One thing that 2 weeks ago or a week ago, I don't know what day it was, but I had a PSA meeting. All the PSA presidents had a meeting with Terry Mooring, and because we have been so proactive on showing her where all the different research is that's going around in the world, she mentioned music quite a bit as one of the subjects that should not be cut whatsoever. And she has been very, very clear on that. She said that any teachers that were being deployed during this time, during June 1st, was one thing as emergency measures, because there's actually she had mentioned somewhere that there is a clause that does allow districts to redeploy teachers during emergency times. She said that should not be happening for September whatsoever, and she was very adamant about that. So we do have a very strong advocate for us. Kathy and Angie, I'm emailing Graham right now when Larry starts to speak. And if you want to connect with Kristen, Kristen had a very lovely email that was sent out to the Abbotsford superintendent earlier on this year that helped quite a bit. Please reach out to the coalition as well, because they have the letters ready to go, unfortunately. Also, Minister of Education has said no teacher will lose their job due to COVID layoffs. Yeah. There's a lot of information back and forth that just one person says this, one person says this, and they're on the same team and they're just not speaking to each other. So I know BCTF knows that, and you know, Dr. Henry mentioned about her today about that as well, at least on their medical side of things. So our next speaker is Larry.
Hello. So in our district, we are not too concerned about layoffs because we have a district management that quite values music programs. And I've been sitting on the district health and safety committee since the start of all of this, you know, helping develop the procedures and protocols in the schools that comply with what Dr. Henry is ordering. So I've been on the health and safety of it. And through any of those meetings, there's never been any mention of laying off teachers. So that's a good sign. But I've had a chance to experience the other side of teaching when I got repurposed from my normal music job to cover a class through the month of June. And so what I ended up doing was, in this last month, I took the protocols and procedures that I helped develop, and now I'm carrying them through with this group of kids that I've got 2 days a week. And so, you know, we have to do the hand washing and the socially distance in the hallway and all of that. So it's while I was working with these kids, this is what got me thinking is, in September, if I'm working under the same conditions, what the music program will look like. And I'm glad to hear that there's some music rooms out there that have enough equipment that a teacher could assign one class to this stuff, then another class to this stuff, so you don't have that common touch surface, but the physical space, the room, still has the common touch potential. So I guess this is the part that has to get us thinking, and maybe it's well laid out in the Google Doc. I haven't had a chance to read that yet, but I guess what I'm thinking of is, here's how we're supposed to exist in a school building. And I'm not trying to be a naysayer here, but I'm just saying, how can we think this through and come up with music instruction? Because they do want us in teaching in the fall in Cranbrook and Elkford and Fernie, Sparwood, doing music programs. But I think it's up to us that's going to determine how we're going to make that fit. And I think our management is quite receptive of anything that we can come up with that'll maintain our programs. We just have to figure out what.
Thank you, Larry. It's the figuring out what part that we're trying to not completely pull our hair out. That was a hair joke. Okay, no one laughed. All right. Thank you. I see some smiley faces. Okay. Jill Sparrow-Ing, you're up next.
Like to say thank you for this opportunity too, because I think we've been feeling a lot of stress around all of this, and to have a chance to see and hear everyone is helpful. We had a meeting with music teachers and senior staff last week in Delta, and our senior admin seems to think that whether or not we'll be allowed to play band instruments or have music classes or sing in choirs is going to be a ministry decision. And part of me, I think that it might be, I mean, do we want to push or have that our mantra, is that everybody in the province be treated the same way? Because I think that, we had a mandate in Delta, no band, no choir. And then as soon as one principal said, well, if you space them out far enough, I think it'll be okay. And all hell broke loose. So what are people's feelings about having the Ministry of Education say? Because I think it's going to be really hard if every single one of us has to advocate in our own district or in our own school, because I think there is research out there. I forwarded some to Amanda, and I know that Janet has some, and I have been in touch with the person who's writing the safe return to practice for the Canadian military bands. I'm wondering if a united front is what we should present here. I mean, it could be that the ministry shuts us all down, but I do think that if they tell me I can't teach band and choir on August 20th, I want them to be able to prove it to me with unrefutable scientific evidence. Because right now, I feel a lot of it is about knee-jerk reaction. So that's all.
Thank you, Jill. Janet wants to talk a little bit more about the research, and then we'll jump back to the speakers list. Janet?
Yes, sorry. I should have spoken about this earlier. I forgot. I have been gathering as much research as I can possibly find. And the research currently coming out of Europe is all saying that singing and playing instruments is okay with social distancing. I know everyone seems to know about the two studies that we're waiting on from the University of Colorado Boulder and the Colorado State University research. And that's going to be a huge thing for us, because it'll be North American research, which is really important. One thing that I discovered as I was searching through resources and research that is out there, I actually found a CDC report on the choir that was on the news in Washington State. And what they're saying is that the reason why everything was spread so quickly in that environment was because the choir was not socially distancing. They had shared snacks at their rehearsal. The chairs were seated about 6 to 12 inches apart. So this is the research that we need to get into the right people's hands. And so Kristen and I are working to make sure that we gather this, and we are part of what we want to do is get this into the ministry's hands so they can see for themselves that they don't have all the information right now. It was the first time I had ever seen this report. And I was talking to a friend out there from Texas, who said, because I had mentioned the choir, and she said, but there's the CDC report. It's not an issue in Texas anymore. And I said, well, okay, but you guys are looking at things differently than we are in Canada. But she said, no. She sent me the link and I read through and I was like, okay, well, there we go. So that is our goal right now, is that we want to get that information into people's hands. We are going, Steve, I see your question there. I think that given the urgency of all of this, Kristen, if you're okay with this, maybe we can pull the research part out of the report that we're writing and send this out as soon as possible so that we can get this information into people's hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll get that, it's in a draft stage right now. It's not complete, but you know, I think the sooner that we can get this out, I think the better.
Thank you. Back to the speakers list. I do believe Patty is next.
Okay, yeah, it's Patty Reese here. I don't know why my last name didn't show up, so I'll have to figure out technical stuff. Just had a question that had come up, like, because in our district, I'm also from Cranbrook, but we have, and somebody else had mentioned also, is there any chance that the ministry might come up with some extra funding to throw out to music programs if they do get up and going for the, that you might not be able to play this, but then you only have access to this instrument, and the inequity between even the schools within a community. I know it's a big question out there, and it's money, but if we're looking at doing things, having to do things different, would they look at possibly doing a little differently too, or earmarking some stuff to help us because we have to take on different things? So it's just a question I'm throwing out there. So.
Funny you should mention that during the PSA president's meeting today, it was actually brought up by the Science Association, because they said, you know, how do we deal with having 30 students in a classroom already when it was actually designed for 18? And that was one of the things that they had suggested that we put in there, is that access and equity to materials. How do we actually do that if you're asking us to do X, Y, and Z? So we can definitely put that in the list of questions as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for sharing. Jen Britton.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, Jenny's giving me the thumbs up. Thanks, Janet. Okay, I haven't used my phone for any of these things. I'm finding like my school computer is dying on me. So I'm like, okay, not using that one anymore. All right. So for those of you who don't know, I'm Aidan Vernon, and my LSA has been during the pandemic when we were home before we went back into schools. We were super connected. Isn't it funny? When I had more time at home, I had more time to connect. Anyways, we haven't had as much time to connect the last month, but I did have a few questions that came up. The only question from the high school teachers that came up was really related to the singing and choir and what that might look like, and just wanting some clarity and providing of like good solid science, scientific information. So just improving on our scientific literacy, because we're sharing a lot of stuff that is not actually scientifically, well, I'm not saying we, but in general, people are sharing a lot of stuff that's not scientifically literate and scares people. So just if the BCMEA could just share some or have some clarity behind that, that was my only request from my high school people. And then from our elementary people, there's just some concern about exposure to numerous kids. I have one staff member that, or one teacher that said, you know, I'm exposed to 20 times the amount of kids as a regular classroom teacher. And so she's just wondering how to mitigate risk and if there's going to be any direction from the BCMEA on risk mitigation, considering a lot of us will be interacting with whole school populations of large numbers of kids. So there was that. One teacher was asking if there could be just some real clarity around do's and don'ts of what sort of tools or instruments we can use. And I know that's not going to be totally possible, but she was wanting some clarity on that. And then just generating ideas of what I think elementary teachers, I think we're in a pretty good position. We've been able to adapt temporarily, but if we could also be generating ideas of what things can look like if we're not able to do kind of our normal, just some sharing of ideas would be awesome. So about risk exposure, do's and don'ts, and then just some questions around just sharing what can we do in the meantime until we can start using some of our awesome instruments again. Those were the only comments from my peeps. So otherwise, hopefully everybody's doing well. Thanks.
Thanks, Jen. Actually, this could segue, Jen, if you want to talk about what different sections we have in the document so far. And then that way we can share out to roughly what the framework is going to look like. And then we'll jump back into the speakers list.
Yeah, I can do that. Sorry, I just need to pull it up. I didn't have it open. So I'll be just a second. I just have to grab this off of my computer here. Oh, there it is. I did have it open. Okay. So what will sections that we're going to be covering in this document are our table of contents that we're building out from that Kristen and I created together is we have some talk, just kind of our what we would like to get or for everyone to get out of the document. Kristen's going to take everything and summarize it so that there's some key takeaways for administrators, because we know administrators are busy and they want something succinct. And so Kristen's going to be doing that. We have a music advocacy statement that between the two organizations has been written. Research under the heading "Is Music Making in Our Schools Safe?" We also wanted to break down some different teaching and instructional models for curriculum delivery, and we've broken that down further. So each of these areas, we wanted to address specifically the three likelihoods of what we're going to be facing this coming year. So fully online, the hybrid where we're online and in class, and then phasing back into classrooms. We decided not to specifically talk about in classroom because that's what we're used to. So, but there will be a transitional phase where we have to get everyone back in. So we're going to talk about that. And under those three, we're going to be talking specifically about strategies for each of those three areas for general music. And music exploratories, including that elementary music, for orchestra, for choir, beginning band, jazz band. And we're hoping that will envelop most teaching areas across the province. If we're missing anything, please tell us, because we want this to be the most accurate and usable document for teachers out there. We'll also be talking about environmental consideration for music classes. We'll be talking about general safety, room considerations, and different instrument recommendations. we will have specific instrument safety, or sorry, disinfection guidelines that have been put out. We will be talking about the health and wellness for teachers, students, and music programs. And then we are also going to be looking at creating something we're calling the music resource room, where it's going to be a sharing space for people to put ideas, lessons, activities, projects, anything that people create and are willing to share. So that would be an awesome place to put ideas for if you've got something that worked really well for you for beginning band, because I know that beginning band is a huge, huge concern right now, because how do you get that flute player blowing on the head joint properly if you're not holding it and rolling it to find that sweet spot and things like that. And so we have, we're trying to address as much as we can. Also with the understanding though, that obviously, you know, we don't have all the answers right now, and I am certainly no expert. I'm just trying to do my best here, just like the rest of us are. And Kristen has been an amazing resource and a huge help with this, and has been an amazing partner with this. So Kristen, is there anything you want to talk about with this?
No, sorry, I'm hiding behind my camera. I have a 15-month-old attempting to go to sleep. No, I think you've covered it all, Janet. We're just having a little chat here on the guitar topic. I'd be interested in hearing anything else that you might feel we're missing or that you really think needs to be covered here. Beginner band hazmat suit. Yeah, it's challenging because we want the direction from on high and from up above. But it kind of needs to go both ways. Like, we are the experts in our field, and so we need to be feeding that information up and then hoping that they listen to us and in turn feed it down. So we'll do our best with the ministry. Worst comes to worst, though, you know, we've got this document, and it will be endorsed by BCMEA, by CMEBC, and hopefully it can at least provide some consistency for teachers and administrators to rely upon.
And any questions, stuff that gets brought up in the chat, the chat's also recorded as well. So we can send things either to my document that I need to have ready for Wednesday, or towards Janet and Kristen for hopefully the Friday rollout for the framework as well. I do believe Julie Fisher is next on the speakers list.
Hi, this is Julie Fisher. I'm from School District 57, which is Prince George. I was really glad to hear Janet talk about talking to them about the research of the choir in the States, because I had heard the same information about them not social distancing and having a nice buffet that they were all feeding from and everything. So I think the more information that we give to the government, the more likely we will be able to keep running our programs. So really glad you brought that up. I just wanted to share kind of what we've done in our district. We're really lucky because our groups have all been working together in the Teams app on 365. And we've come up with safety lists for our different classrooms. So we've got an elementary music teachers group, and we've got a band teachers group. I also have a visual arts group, and they work together to come up with their own safety protocols for what they think it might look like in September. And they've listed how they will space their classrooms out, how they will deal with instruments, how they will clean things in between. And we've brought that forth to our district right away, so that we can show them that we're being proactive and that we're being thoughtful about what might happen in September. And so far, and I say so far because, you know, things can change in an hour, in a day, but so far the district is being really supportive and wanting the arts to continue in Prince George, because they feel it's part of our, health and wellness. So that's good news, but you know how that goes. It could change. In the elementary music, we've decided not to do choir until January. So we have canceled our any big groups or festivals that are happening in the fall, but we're really hopeful for the spring. And same with our band teachers. They have secured their venue and everything for their band festival in the spring with the hopes that it will go through then, but no big concerts in the fall. We talked about singing, and I kind of feel it's no different than PE classes as far as the aspiration and everything, as long as it's kept too quiet and not very loud and not in a choir setting. So no more than one classroom full of kids and evenly spaced apart outside if possible. So that was in our safety protocol. And instruments, just what you somebody had mentioned about going outside on the playgrounds. You know, they wash their hands before they go and they wash their hands when they come back in. We should be able to do the same with ukuleles or with ORF instruments. And in the band programs, it's all their own individual instruments. So I don't see that we have to panic quite yet. And we are also waiting for that August 20th date for the word from our district as to what we're allowed to do. As far as Larry was talking about different ideas for going back into the classroom, there's lots of great ideas for elementary teachers through Denise Gagne from Red Deer. She's got tons of information on ways to do body percussion, to use individual music bags in the fall so that they're not touching each other's things. So just an idea for people that are out there. And I think that's about it. I'm really excited to hear what else is going on in everyone else's districts.
Thank you so much, Julie. One thing, maybe too late for some districts, but to get your districts to have a subscription to Denise Gagne's, oh my gosh, why can't I remember her website's name?
Music Play.
Music Play, thank you, yes, Music Play.
Themes and Variations.
Yeah, any of her stuff has been, I know that Sooke District Elementary teachers have been very happy that we still have our subscription to it. So lots of stuff that Denise puts on there. Colleen.
Hi, friends. I'm just going to apologize in advance. My children are watching television in the next room, so if you get bombarded by the chipmunks, that's why. So I represent Surrey today. We are in the Lower Mainland. We have 128 members in our district who are teachers. We went through and we just surveyed our colleagues, and a lot of the same things that you're talking about have come up. I won't bore you with it. It's all in the document. The big concern, sorry, I'm just reading, I see a typo. The biggest concern that that came up was the equity, and we've touched on that before. And then going ahead in the fall, the Surrey School District, after I wrote this with my colleagues early this morning, they came out with the guidelines for what's going to happen in the fall. And there's some concerning language of sustaining electives where possible under current health and safety guidelines. So we're a little bit concerned about that in Surrey. We have issues on, you know, safety protocols. Some guidance on that would be great so that members can take it to their administration when we get scheduling that doesn't allow for opportunities to do so that we can have a document that our members can use to say, this is what's been, you know, suggested from the BCGF, and this is what's been suggested from other levels. So one of the things that I'm a little bit concerned about is science is a double-edged sword for us, right? So a lot of the information that's coming out is what some, like my husband, who's a science researcher, would call pseudoscience. And so I know that the University of Colorado and Colorado State are, you know, we're all waiting on pins and needles, I guess, for that study to come out, because it will be quantitative research. And that will help us. Hang on. That will help us, I think, when we talk to, when we go up to the ministry, et cetera. I think in Surrey so far, our fine arts, we have a fine arts coordinator at the district level, and all of our, You have to be just patient with me for a minute. I'm sorry, friends. They were quiet until I got on the mic. I'm really sorry.
Mommy!
Shall answer the question and I'll come back. Sorry, Mandar. Sorry, friends.
It's all good. I think we have many parents in the room, so it's okay. We all understand. People totally relate. Sorry, I'm just reading through the chat very quickly. Jill, the thing of, you know, you can go to the gym every day. I wash my hands constantly. I'm spraying everything down. I want to spray people down as well, but that's allowed to run, yet, you know, they say music classes can't. So there's a lot of discrepancies, and this is the time for us to bring up a lot of it. So it could be one of the concerns. It will be one of the concerns we bring up as well. Just answering a few questions here. Anyone recommend online services for the smart music? That's one of the things that I think a lot of us are looking at. Because a lot of these services were very nice and said, we will give it to you free for June 30 because the pandemic just started. But now that we're going into the fall, what is that going to look like? That's one of the things worth bringing up as well. The next person on the list, we'll come back to Colleen once she's able to. But Risa is next. Risa?
Hi, everybody. I'm Risa McDonnell from School District 61, Victoria, BC. The things that I wanted to add were that if it's left up to school districts to provide cleaning products for us, we need to make sure that it's going to be safe and not damage our instruments. If they're going to require PPE for any of our ensemble classes. I just looked at pictures of a band, marching band in Texas rehearsing, and they've got face masks on. Jenny Lemon's nodding her head. The brass players are emptying their spit valves and buckets and stuff. I just want to make sure that it's not unloaded onto music programs to pay for all of that, as is often the case. That, as everybody knows, that happens to us. So that was my first thought. The second thought was, teachers all over have done a lot to figure out how to teach our subject online, but some subjects lend themselves to teaching online a lot easier than others, as you know, everyone here can appreciate, I'm sure. And there needs to be more support in just helping us pay for resources. So the music play stuff, for example, is awesome. It would help any elementary music teacher, but it costs money. There's a subscription involved, and we should be advocating for, musictheory.com is also awesome. There's lots of good free resources, but we should be advocating for some quality online resources that we can use, so we're not completely reinventing everything by ourselves. And then the last thought was just about getting repurposed in other roles and stuff in our schools. I'm concerned about the distribution of workload, because I know at the middle school level, I will fully admit that the classroom teachers, the teachers who were primarily responsible for 28 students or whatever in their class, had a like a huge amount of responsibility for their students to teach all the subject matters and collect work and market and evaluate and everything. The workload was not distributed fairly, I think. And for me as an exploratory teacher, I didn't have anywhere as near, it was, students were given the option to try my lessons or try any of the exploratory lessons. And, you know, I did my share. I posted lessons. I made instructional videos. I did, you know, all of that. But there was not as much engagement as there were with their classroom teachers. And I understand families are just kind of prioritizing. But I am concerned that people, that administrators will see, oh, well, those exploratory teachers, they're just not working as hard. So, you know, we don't need them. Or they can do this other task or whatever. So yeah, those were my concerns. I think accountability for students in the fall is gonna be important, because I think everybody was willing to just kind of hobble through and just try to make it work this spring. And you know, my school district or my school decided not to give letter grades for term three and stuff. Like, it was just all very, let's just survive, let's just make this work for now. But in the fall, I would definitely like to see a lot more accountability from students. Like, you know, my class should not be, you know, just optional, if, especially the exploratory class, which is not optional. But I know band, choir, and strings is, you know, if they sign up, if they want, you know, there should be some level of commitment, even if it's not, even if it's some kind of hybrid model or less than ideal model. Okay, those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Risa. I do believe, just checking out a lot of the sidebar, Steve Thompson, you are next.
Thanks. Actually, a number of these things have been addressed in the chat, but one thing I think that's positive that's come out of this time is the use of online resources. But one thing that concerns me is that they are fairly expensive, and we're either going to offload that cost to the students, which I'm not sure if we're even allowed to do, or we're going to be paying, you know, possibly thousands of dollars to, if we have like 250 music students, it's going to be a formidable cost, and I don't know where, you know, if we're going to be able to get that. And not everything you don't get everything in one place. So we were using Music First, and I really appreciated that, but I'm not sure if it's going to be worth the subscription value. I know that Smart Music doesn't work on, for example, iPhones or, you know, for so many kids, that's their device of choice. So somebody had mentioned maybe there is a way that the BCMEA can work out some sort of deal with, you know, these companies so that we can get a special provincial rate or something like that. That's just a thought. But I am encouraged that some of these online resources are sort of, you know, got a little bit highlighted through this time because we couldn't meet face to face. But of course, kids, they really want to get back to face to face. And just having the other resources as an adjunct to what we do, I think is a positive thing. I'll mute myself now.
Thank you, Steve. Actually, while you were talking, I'm just going to email the BCMA treasurer, who's also Matthew Martin, who's also our marketplace coordinator for conference, and he's well connected with it. And there shouldn't be a reason why we couldn't see if we can, you know, somehow strike up something with the as a province for some of those as well. So a letter, reduced subscriptions, absolutely, Kevin. Breezing Through Theory, yeah, that's a good one. That's actually based out of Toronto. So there's a lot of things that there's a lot of online things that we can definitely look at. But that is definitely we can look at that. I think when we look at the steering committee when I bring up the concerns and whatnot, one of the things that we can bring up there, I think it's gonna come up on a lot of PSA's recommendations, is that if we're going to a blended model or if we're going to a fully online model, there needs to be online resources that are made available for everyone. So we'll definitely bring that up. I believe Colleen, are you back?
I think so.
Okay.
I have 3 children, so it could go all pear-shaped again. I'm really sorry. My husband's working late tonight. So okay. Everything that has been mentioned has very similar ideas in Surrey. I think one of the things that we had been talking about at the secondary level is that we're educating the whole child, not just the academic child. And so we need some stronger advocacy in the importance of the full curriculum. And I was talking to Kristen earlier today about, in certain districts they've pushed, and I think maybe it was a ministry mandate, literacy and numeracy, and how the music curriculum from K to 12 can help fulfill those pushes forward for those, you know, I think people still think that we live in the old curriculum and those are, you know, content versus competencies. So just more of an, as we move forward, I think Risa was saying it, like our classes shouldn't be optional. I have 400 students in our program, and 87 of them emailed me over the course of the 6 weeks or 8 weeks saying that they were overwhelmed and they needed a pass and band, like an opt out and band, because they just couldn't keep up with the other classes. So as we move into the, you know, framework for the fall, we need to make sure that we are protected within our silos. And that's the big thing that we took away from Surrey. There's 128 schools in Surrey from elementary to secondary. We have a K to 7 and a secondary model. The biggest thing was that the members felt that they were fighting their administrations on a lone front. And we live in our little silos and we really don't have much in the way of coming back to admin with suggestions or movement. In Surrey, there hasn't been any cancellation of any festivals. So we have a fine arts district coordinator that I was talking about earlier. The district has gone ahead and booked all festivals for next year with the idea that it will be back to status quo and we will cross them off as and when we have to, if it's necessary. So in Surrey, we do have a district principal responsible for fine arts, and they seem to, at this point, be quite on the ball. That being said, we, as the SMEA, we are meeting with our STA tomorrow to talk about some local issues that you have all addressed in core music and the entitlement and the access to education. So, you know, we're trying to address it from the local front, but from the BCMEA and from the CA coalition and from the top down would be great as well. And then my final point with the pseudoscience, I think there's I'm always the naysayer in it, but I think there's a little bit of liability that we have to be aware of too. So the districts are going to maybe err on the side of caution, or the ministry will err on the side of caution when it comes to people's health. And so I'm looking forward to the Colorado study and the other studies and really push those when they, you know, fingers crossed, come out in our favor, because right now they'll come back, I fear, they'll come back and say, well, it's qualitative, it's not quantitative research. And until we have quantitative research, we may have to think of a different thing. And the other thing, the final thing I was gonna say is we teach music and our delivery models are band and choir and guitar. And so this framework that's being put forward is just a new way of looking at what we teach. So I know this isn't, you know, band and choir and all these things are the way that we do it, but we have to think outside the box in order to protect music education going forward. And I'm done. No children harassing me. Yes, got through it.
Thank you very much, Colleen. We're gonna bring it back to Jen Britton. I'm not sure about the rest of you, but Colleen and Jen share a very similar voice.
Hello again. It's funny, I was just thinking about advocacy and how I've never really thought about it much or given it a lot of energy, because, you know, we have so many great music programs in our province, and we often just say, you know, you let your music program speak for itself. But in the absence of one, it's like, oh, okay, maybe I do need to do some advocacy. So I'm wondering just how we encourage our membership. I was thinking, at times like this, even if you're not sort of an outspoken or assertive person, I think we need to drive the bus. Like, right from the beginning, I've tried to be extremely proactive. You know, admin would get very overwhelmed with so many details that they had to organize that I thought in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not gonna, you know, wait for them to tell me what to do. I'm going to start driving the bus here. And so I know when we went back to school in June, there's some of my colleagues in my district who are not doing any music of any kind because we didn't have to provide prep. And so therefore they did not technically have to have some kind of program, where I was like, I want to teach my kids in person. And so there were a few of us who developed our own schedules and proposed it to our administrators. So a lot of the feedback was, oh, this is something normal for the kids. And it's so great for them to have their music, to have some balance in their learning, and to get outside of that classroom space and get them out from under their computers. And so I feel like even for September, I've been trying to drive the bus too, in terms of even making my own schedule and having some say, and always trying to put it as, oh, I want to lighten your burden, you know, with the admins, because there has to be a benefit for them too. So if there's some way that we can present information, guide, encourage our membership to be not, I don't know, personally, I feel I'm not waiting to be told what to do. I want to have some say in it, and I want it to be what's best for kids. So I think we need to be just a little bit more proactive during these times. So I'm not sure what that looks like in terms of how we encourage our membership, but I honestly don't think it's great to just, in my district anyways, I wouldn't want to sit back and just wait to be told, because I fear then it would just sort of be almost forgotten, if you know what I mean. So there, those are my two bits. Drive the bus. Whoop, whoop. I'll make t-shirts.
I'm sure some of us would also be driving buses for our festivals as well.
Don't be so literal, Mandarin.
Well, you know me. It's funny, complete side note. So my school has a 2-day high school grad tomorrow and Wednesday. And who's running it? My teaching partner, Glennis Dawson. So I said, when you want something done, give it to a music teacher. And that's exactly what's happening. So exactly, she's driving the bus. She's like, I want this to happen. So I'm just going to do this and take it away from the burden from admin. And we all know this. We all know this. We all know this. I've mentioned it at the very beginning, was that at the beginning of everything, was that we are uncomfortable with some stuff, and it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to kind of lean in towards that and go, okay, how do I make it comfortable? So I know that a lot of our newer colleagues may not feel comfortable enough to bring up to admin. You know, these are all the things. But I think strength in numbers, you know, we can help each other out and help each other when we're trying to approach admin. Our next person on the list is Janet Nordstrand.
Yeah, and on that note, Mandar, it's there's such power in the knowledge, and so I'm really excited about the document that's coming our way. And I just think it's so great to be together as a province. I'm Janet, I'm from Burnaby School District, and I'm here to speak on behalf of some of our elementary teachers. We had a great core of people that met every week during the time that the remote learning was taking place. And sharing ideas, we had subcommittees, we had a team on Microsoft Teams where we created folders for ideas for anybody who wanted to share, for intermediate and primary and tech ideas. And it was a great time for our community to come together and to get to know each other, because we only see each other 3 or 4 times a year. When the return to school happened, we met to discuss the various ways that our program looked in this 40 schools in Burnaby, and it was so different, and that was so frustrating for us. Some teachers were completely reassigned to supervise the essential service worker kids. Some were doing classroom, some were actually teaching music, and, you know, like what you said, Jen, about asking for what you want. I personally was I stayed home due to some health concerns right now, and I had my music program stripped, and I was assigned to help 5 teachers that were on site 4 days a week because they had so many kids come back. And the first week of that was just really difficult for me. And so I met with my administrator and advocated that if there was any extra time that I could do online lessons with my students. And so I think we need to speak up and we need to ask for what we want, no matter how hard it is. But we then went on to meet with the BTA, our LSA, our union, and they're going to carry our concerns forward about the authority that each school district administrator has to make decisions for their school. And so how come students 5 minutes down the road from my school are getting music and my students got nothing? And so the BTA is going to take that forward for us. But if we can have a province-wide initiative on how we're used in September, that would help a lot of us, and especially including myself. And so also, if we go back to some online combinations learning, I wonder if there's anything that could be stated for health concerns about how many students that we have to teach, because some of the classroom teachers had 4 students, and I was told I'd go to school and be exposed to 114 kids and the ESW students. And so I don't know if there's anything we can do as an organization to say, you know, the exposure to students needs to be equitable. So I think those are the big things that I would bring forward from our elementary teachers in Burnaby.
Thank you. At my LSA meeting, one of our elementary teachers brought that up as well. An idea was, because she also has, she's immunocompromised. So she said there's no way that I can return to the classroom because she didn't in June. And then what she did instead was she created 20-minute lessons in video with prompts for the kids to sing along with, so that the classroom teacher actually showed it. So just some ideas that we'll put in the resource room as well. Kristen.
Yeah, I'll come back. I've been sent to the front yard. I wanted to ask, not to change the topic or anything, but before we exit this meeting, if any of you have advice for the Wednesday full town hall. We are obviously going to share the information about the framework document. We're going to talk about the letter that went out today to the administrators and the trustees, and help reassure teachers that we are working for them as a joint BCMEA and Coalition for Music Education in BC. But what are you hearing from your teacher networks that we need to do in that meeting? So we created this everyone inclusive town hall because we were hearing that in addition to the LSA town hall, more people wanted their voices heard and wanted a platform to come together and collaborate and talk through the situation. So any guidance on how we can kind of rein things in for that town hall would be great.
Any advice? Jill? Jill, you're muted right now. Oh, there you go. Oh, still muted. Not sure what happened, Jill. I unmuted you just to see if that would work. We still can't hear you. You're so passionate about it too because you're using your hands. When Jill speaks with her hands, I know, it's like the greatest thing ever to watch. Oh no. Risa's suggestion here. 5 minutes of typing the question in the chat, look for themes. Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Maybe Jill's typing something in right now. She is. Okay, good. So there was a question from Steve about will this be shared right away? So what after this meeting, I will upload it to my Google Drive and then put the link at the top of the shared Google document. That document, I am going to somehow manage. Last I checked, it was at 14, no, I think close to 20 pages. So I need to somehow put everything into a two-page document. So as of noon tomorrow, I'm going to take off the editing part. You can still read everything. So those that are want to share out on the concerns coming around the province, please feel free to do that. But I will take off the editing part at noon tomorrow or around then, because we've got ceremonies every hour starting at 10. So, but I'll turn that off. But I'll put the link of this recording on there. And I've never put the recording of the meeting along with some of the notes on the side. So as soon as I'm done, if I'm able to gather all of the notes that are on the side chat bar and put that and upload that as well, so at least people can scan and find different things that were brought up and whatnot. Get return of larger than 50 timeline. I don't think there is one because Dr. Henry mentioned that in her briefing today. She said the no larger than 50 is still in effect. Yeah, so unfortunately, no. Yes, it does impact and impacts the entire arts sector, both education and private. So we're at the 90-minute mark. Is there anything else people would like to bring up in terms of concerns? Like I said, the doc will be up for you for editing until midday tomorrow. So I'll be spending Tuesday night amalgamating everything. And when I send it to BCTF, I'll also send it to the entire membership as well, so that everyone knows what the concerns are brought up. So that everyone's clear on exactly what's going on. So, oh yes, Risa, go ahead. Oh, Risa? Can't hear you, Risa. Maybe it's me.
Oh. Can you hear me now? Hello? Okay, sorry. I know everyone's frustrated with all these online meetings. Don't need to make it more painful. I just wanted to say that in all of this work that we're doing, and expressing our concerns and everything, that it's so important that we offer like many solutions. And you know, the solutions have to come from us, you know, because administrators, you know, the ministry, they don't understand how our programs work. So maybe we can't have a concert of 50 people all in the same place, but for my Christmas concert next year, for example, I'm planning to do chamber music, small groups spread throughout the school with people wandering, you know, past them. And my spring concert will be an outdoor concert, you know, or my summer concert will be an outdoor concert. And, you know, just we have to just keep saying, like, can't do it this way, but we can do it this way, you know, and we're concerned about this, but we've got a solution here, because the solutions are not going to come from them. So that was just one thought.
Exactly. I think I'm also tired of hearing the term "think outside the box." It's a different shape. It changes every day. So we just need to shift with it, and we are very much stuck in our ways. You know, that is the burden of being a music teacher, is that we're very, very stuck in our ways sometimes. And I think it's in the words of Dr. Adam Kahn, it's time to innovate. and change things and feel uncomfortable. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. Kristen just put in the link for the Eventbrite on Wednesday night. And please encourage all of your music teachers in your district, in your area, to register. Sorry, Kevin, did you want to speak or did you want to register?
Yeah.
Speak? Okay.
No, I was just going to say, I kind of on tagging onto Risa's thought there. I think what most people in our district are looking for is a kind of an action plan of action, as opposed to discussing all the ideas that were brought forth here. I think they're really looking for, you know, when the rubber meets the pavement type action, right? Because it may change in September, it may be completely different in December. Again, we may be completely online, so on and so forth. So I think just rather than bringing up all the issues, I think we're looking at more of the solutions rather than the issues.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's why it was perfect timing that tonight was about issues and Wednesday is actually about solutions, so that we can work off of each other. And timing with BCTF needing the concerns brought up was worked perfectly today. Is there anything else that people would like to bring up tonight? Going once, twice. All right. Thank you so much for giving up your time tonight, everyone. And hope to see you Wednesday night with more faces on a different platform. And have a great night. Enjoy the sunshine. Thanks, everyone.